We have been looking in Jonah, and this morning you may have already figured out we're going to look and talk about the city. And I want to call your attention to a resource you have in the bulletin. Again, a week two of this series, Drive Series, A Journey Through Jonah, and you'll see there's a place to take some notes. That's for right now. If the Lord sparks something and you want to record it or need to record it, there's space for you there and you can keep track of this. And then on the back, this is for later. This is for after you're out of here, maybe when you sit down this evening or perhaps through the week, where you can reflect upon the Word of God and just a way to kind of connect you in. Just ask the Lord what He would have you do. We are talking about the city. And seems like I hear more and more, or I hear a lot, different people talk about getting out of the city. I was in Barnes & Noble earlier this week. I normally don't go to Barnes & Noble, but I was looking for a particular book, and so I went in and I was at the checkout, and I got to talking with this young woman, and she was talking about she and her family were moving out of the city into the country, and they were so excited about that. We see and we hear about churches that were planted in the heart of the city that have moved into the outskirts, and we know of a few churches even in our own neck of the woods that have made that move. I can't help but thinking, God has planted this church geographically about 1 mile outside of the perimeter of Athens. And I can't help but wonder, what does this mean for this church? What does this mean for us? What does this mean for maybe what God is calling us to do for our future? I wonder if in some way God's plans for Christian life involve a look back into that city. And what would that look like if God is calling us deeper into the city of Athens? What sort of planning would need to take place? What sort of strategic thinking would need to be thought to do something that captures the heart of our city? Cities can be scary places. This past summer, I had on a couple occasions the opportunity to drive into Atlanta to go to the airport. I don't do that. I start to say I don't do that enough, but I don't know if I want to say I don't do that enough. I don't do that frequently enough where I'm super duper comfortable with that trip. There's a lot of traffic. And it seems like every time, my wife will tell you, it seems like every time I drive into Atlanta, on the way back I get lost. I don't know why that is. Probably because I get to talking and not really paying attention to where I'm going and what I'm doing. But I will get lost, and I find myself this past summer, and I'm driving through what looks like city, and I'm looking at the skyline and enjoy it, and all of a sudden I am in the middle of a place that is this God-forsaken land in the middle of Atlanta. You know what I'm talking about? Where a lot of activity, where there's tagging all over the place, and it's a rundown neighborhood, and I'm thinking, oh my goodness, I hope that this van will keep going. Please, Lord, protect the tires and the wheels and everything and get me on through this place. There's a lot of problems that come with cities, urban blight. There are a lot of things that frighten us or can frighten us about cities, like crime, drugs, gangs. There are all kinds of problems that cities have, educational problems, fatherless homes, violence. And we can easily look and we can say, man, what a God-forsaken place cities can become. But as I look in the Scriptures, I don't think that's God's idea of a city at all. And so what I want to do is I want to look in Jonah and I want to unpack this thinking about cities a little bit more. And when we look at the places and cities and we say, what a God-forsaken place, I want to underscore for us from Scripture how bad, what bad, terrible theology that really is. You know, that theologically speaking, that's a terrible statement to say that this is a God-forsaken place. It's inaccurate. If you look in Jonah chapter 1, we'll look at the first couple verses. Now, last week we read through Jonah in its entirety. This week we're not going to read through Jonah in its entirety. We're going to look at just the first two verses. Now, the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise. Now, some translations say, get up at once. Some translations just say, go. But the word of the Lord came to Jonah, and the word of the Lord said, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me. Maybe you recall from perhaps last week reading through Jonah or your own reading and studying this week in the book of Jonah that God had called this missionary, God had called this prophet, God had called his spokesman, and he told him to go to the city of Nineveh that was the capital city of the Assyrian Empire, and Jonah did not want to go. Because this was not a nice group of folks. Jonah hated the Assyrians with a passion. And he was scared to death that if he went to Nineveh and if he talked about God, if he preached the message that God had told him to preach, that someone might get saved. And that would be a terrible thing. Heidi, can you imagine as like the outcome of your missions ministry, send me to South Africa and by God, no one will receive the Lord. No. But that was Jonah. Jonah didn't want to go because he was afraid that his ministry might actually have some success. And so he did a U-turn. He turned around and he went backward. He refused out of hatred. And he ran away from, as God calls it, that great city. What is the biblical theology of cities? What does God think about the city? I don't know that I have ever heard a message preached on the theology of a city. Have you ever thought much about it? What is the place of a city? I'm curious, how many of you live within the city limits of Athens? We do. Oh, we got hands. We got quite a few hands. How many of you, keep hands up, how many of you, if you don't live in the city, how many of you work in the city? You have jobs in the city. Okay, I see more hands. See, even locally for us, you can put your hands down, even locally for us, the city is very important. What is it to God? God says, Jonah, go to that great city and preach against it. Now, in that phrase alone, we see that the city is a place that is an object of God's love. This was a tremendously, immeasurably more violent and hostile place than Athens, Georgia, this city of Nineveh. But yet God tells Jonah, go to that great city. Why? Because God wanted repentance to come to that great city. If God wants the city of Nineveh to come to repentance, if God wanted the capital of the Assyrian Empire to to humble themselves before Him. What is God's heart for our city where we live? Jonah, go to that great city. The simple fact that God wanted Jonah to go and talk to them speaks volumes about the grace and the love of our God for cities. God didn't want to just destroy it. He didn't want to just plow it over and wipe it off the map. Why? Because God wanted to preserve the city. God especially wanted to preserve that city. Why does God care so much for the cities? Let me offer a few reasons. First, cities are God's idea from the very beginning. We often don't think about it that way. But a city is a God idea. We sometimes act like cities are just places for bad people to kind of get together and hang out on street corners. But cities are God's idea. He created them. He thought them up. A few years back, actually more than a few years back, I had the opportunity to do some ministry in eastern Pennsylvania. And traveling up into Pennsylvania and Lancaster County and all that surrounding area is just beautiful. You see the rolling hillsides, it's just absolutely gorgeous. And I would go into that place and we would go into churches there to do ministry and we would go in and they would say, welcome. What did they say? Welcome to God's country. Maybe you've heard people say something like that. The serene place, the place of beauty, the mindset that we have. Oh yeah, God's country is out where it's pristine. God's country is out where there's not a lot of traffic. God couldn't possibly be in among all the road work and all the sidewalks and all the cement and all the huge buildings and hustle and bustle of cities. That's not how God thinks. Think about God's future. Think about the trajectory of the church. Think about Revelation chapter 21 and the ultimate culmination of human history. Where will we all live? In that new Jerusalem. A city. God's ultimate plan for humanity ends in a city. And think about the name of that city. It's the New Jerusalem, the New Jerusalem, the new God's peace. God's heart is in the city. The apex of redeemed geography is a holy city, an eternal city. In the middle of that city, the Bible tells us that there is the tree of life. That's a reference back to the Garden of Eden. In other words, the eternal city, this new Jerusalem, is God-made. It was remade by God. We talk about returning to the garden, returning to the Garden of Eden. Where is that? It's in a city. God's heart is in the city. It was God's original intent when He spoke to the very first parents and He said, be fruitful and multiply. Develop civilization. Not just work the farm, although that's wonderful and we need farms and we need places of agriculture. But the idea was to get together and form community, and those communities would form cities. Do you know that in the ancient world, that cities were the dwelling places of deities? If you wanted to go and be close to a god, you would move into a city, because those were the residences of the gods. The very first skyscrapers were the ziggurats. And the ziggurats were these carved out places that led up to the sky. And the deity would meet on the top of these skyscrapers. These ziggurats. I think all of these things reflect a dim awareness in human thought that cities are important to God, that God has His hand in the city. I think about the stories like Atlantis to remind us, to draw us that there is a longing for these long-lost cities, to remind us that God's plan from the very beginning was a city. Cities can't be regarded as just places of corruption and places of evil, places where fallen human beings gather. Sure, they're there, but they're not God-forsaken people. They're not God-forsaken places, because God's heart is in the cities. History will end in a God-centered city. The second thing I think that helps us understand about God's understanding of the city is that cities are strategic. Do you understand that? Cities are crossroads. They are connectors. They are the places where life travels through them. Now here's something to think about. In 1800, what percentage of people do you think lived in the city? A little more than 200 years ago, what percentage worldwide do you think lived in cities? About 3% of the world population lived in a city. In 2010, what do you think the percentage of world population living in a city was? Over 50%. In the United States, well over 75% of our population lives in metropolitan areas. If we're going to take people seriously, then we need to take cities seriously, because that's where people are. It's not that they're just strategic places today. When the gospel of Jesus Christ came to a man named Paul, what did Paul do? He took the gospel to the far reaches of the known world. And where did he go? He went to the cities. If you look at your New Testament, you'll see epistles, and they have neat names like Romans and Ephesians and Philippians and Galatians. Why? These are names and named after cities. They referred to the places where Paul went in his ministry. They were all cultural centers that Paul went to. He was led to go to these places to plant the gospel in these places, because these were the places that people would naturally gravitate to and then go on their way from. And they impacted the entire world by reaching the cities. Cities were strategic because in the city was the place where the people were more interested in new ideas, where culture could be leveraged for the cause of Christ. Even now, the gospel will take root faster in some of these areas and cities, in some of these communities, these transitional communities in cities, a lot faster than in rural areas. In 300 A.D., this is a powerful, powerful statistic. In 300 A.D., 50% of the urban population, 50% of city dwellers were Christians. 300 A.D., 50% of the metro-dwelling people were Christians, while only 10% of the outlying areas were Christians. In fact, some people think that the word pagan comes from the Roman word paganus, which means man of the country. God's plan was to capture the hearts of the cities, and Paul was sent to the cities to do the work of God. Missionaries are called very oftentimes to plant works in cities. Tim Keller, who has taken ministry to the city and has done a lot of great work in the city of New York in terms of planting churches and making a difference in New York City for the cause of Christ. He has taken this calling very seriously. He refers to cities as this. They are culture-forming wombs of society. Whatever captivates the heart of the city will captivate the arts of the culture, will captivate the media, will captivate the scholarship, will captivate the core professions of the future. Cities are strategic. What takes place in the city will then filter out all throughout the countryside. And don't we see that so in our own day and in our own time? What happens in the cities soon begins to happen in the communities, the outlying regions, and then it begins to spread deeper and deeper into the areas of the country. We need to have a heart for cities because God has a heart for cities. Finally, I think cities are on the heart of God because cities can be a place of refuge for disenfranchised people. Cities are places of refuge for hurting people. It seems kind of odd to go to a place to have some solace, to have some solitude, to have a place of refuge in among so many people. But yet that's what we see in cities. Actually, in ancient times, the wilderness was what was really scary, not so much the city. The country areas were the scary places, and people would go and gravitate to the cities in order to be safe. They didn't want to be out in the wild. They didn't want to be out in the country because that was the place of danger. In fact, if you look at the story of Sodom and Gomorrah in Genesis chapter 19, when the angel of the Lord came to Lot, he said, "Look, Lot," they came to him and they said, "Look, you better get out of Dodge. You need to get out in the country. We're about to destroy this city." They said, "Go to the hills. Go to the hillside." Lot said, "No, I don't want to do that. I won't survive out in the country. I won't survive out in the wilderness area. I tell you what, let me go. There's a little city over there. Let me go to that little city." Zoar means little city. In other words, I can't make it out there in the wilderness. I need to go to the place of refuge. I need to go to the area where it's more populated. I need to go to the city. When Israel moved into the promised land, some of the first cities were established. And even in Genesis, cities were developed so that they would be places of refuge for the people where they could flee and be safe. God invented cities, not just to be a sign of self-protection, but of divine protection as well. And even today, you think about, where do homeless people gravitate? Where do people who are down on their luck, where do they migrate toward? Where do people who have alternate lifestyles gravitate? They gravitate to cities to find places of refuge. For some reason, they feel more comfortable. They can find other people who are running from other things, and they can find solace and refuge in the city. Density creates diversity. Now, a lot of times, those who are middle class and those who are of the dominant majority tend to not like cities so much. But the weak and the powerless, they need the city, and they gravitate to the city. They don't survive out in the outlying areas. Oftentimes, we just don't see it that way. We see places, cities, as places of depravity, and people certainly move to cities to create their own morality, to create their own sense of right and wrong. They use the city to define life in the way they see it and define God in their own image. And there's no shortage in Scripture of cities that have gone bad. But that doesn't mean cities are bad. God has a heart for the city. This is what He says. This is what God says. "Jonah, I want you to get up. And I want you to go to that great city. That great city's been around for a long time. My heart is on that city. That city, God says, is in my line of sight. That city is in my sights right now. I'm thinking on it. I hear the evil that is coming up. Jonah, would you go to that great city and preach to them? Does it exist within us to look out over that city and see that God's heart is in that place? That God is there in the middle of that city. That God is there in that place. That He loves the city of Athens. That His mercy, that His grace is abundant for them. Are we willing to stand in faith and believe that the city can be a place that God's heart is on? A place that needs to be loved. A place that needs to be won for His kingdom. You know, in Israel's history, there's an interesting verse when Israel was taken into exile because of their disobedience to God. And they were plopped right down in the middle of a city. They went to Babylon. And there's a fascinating verse in Jeremiah 29, in verse 7. God speaks to Jeremiah the prophet, and He gives this word to the Israelites who have been plopped in the middle of this foreign city, this enemy city. This is what God says, "But seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you in exile." Wow. You've been plopped in the middle of the city. You've been uprooted from your homes. You've been brought here, torn away from all that you knew and loved, torn away from your land, torn away from your culture, torn away from your traditions. "But seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile and pray to the Lord on its behalf." For, you paying attention? "For in its welfare you will find your welfare." Another translation says, "If it prospers, you too will prosper." Israel, God's people, was to be a model community within the city limits. It was to be a witness to them. It was to demonstrate to the city of Babylon what it was to be inhabited and dwelt in by God. As we think about all this, what does it mean for Christian Life Worship Center? Geographically, just a mile off the perimeter, still in the heart of the city. More and more the city grows down this way as the months go on. What does it mean for our church that God has a heart for cities? You know, if I'm honest, part of me would like to say, no thanks. I'd like to make a U-turn like Jonah. I like to head out into the countryside. I grew up a country boy. I understand that. I understand that simpler way of life. But at the same time, God's heart is for cities. And this is where He has planted me. This is where He has planted you. Now, I'm not saying that everyone is called to go into the city. Not everyone is called to minister into the city. I understand that. And wherever we live and wherever we work, we are called to those areas. But we need to consider seriously God's heart for Athens. God's heart for the strategic value of the city. God's heart, God's working in the community already. What would we do? Number one, we need to pray for our city. Now, sometimes we say we pray for our city. I don't hear it an awful lot. But we need to pray for our city. We need to pray seriously and regularly for the city of Athens. We need to pray for the political leaders of this city. We need to pray for the mayor and whoever the new mayor will be, whether it's your candidate of choice or not, whatever happens on the 20th. But we need to pray for the city's leadership. We need to pray for the police force. We need to pray for the rescue workers in this city. We need to pray for businesses in our city. We need to pray for those who work in the legal profession. We need to pray for those teachers in the middle of our city. Amen. We need to pray for the churches that are already in the downtown area. We need to pray. We need to spread a net of prayer around our city. We need to pray for every neighborhood. We need to pray for the problems that the city faces. And we need to pray that God would show us the opportunity right here in this place. It's the most important thing we can do, and yet I think it's the hardest thing for us to do. Secondly, I want you to consider a more direct involvement in ministries that are already impacting this city. We have a ministry in this local church that is already making inroads into the city. Royal Rangers will go. They've done some work up and down this road, cleaning up, beautifying. They've done some work on homes and helping people out around the perimeter, out toward the mall area. The Royal Rangers are getting the heart for the city of Athens, amen. And you can partner with them. Partner with Commander Chris. The men's ministries also beginning to move out in the cities. Get involved with what is going on in the cities. There are other agencies. There are other ministries that are already taking place in the city. Where do you fit? What can you do to get involved? But I think what's most necessary is for us to come to grips that God really loves this place. God really loves this place. Cities are strategic. God loves them and God has a purpose right here, right where we are. How can we join God with what is on His heart? How can we look toward that city and see what God is doing and have a yearning to move out onto that campus and out into those businesses and join and partner with God in what He is doing? Let's pray for the humility and the courage to follow Him where He leads us and to not do like Jonah and not make a U-turn, not run away, but to go forward into what God is calling us. As we close and as we prepare for communion, I'm going to ask the communion workers go ahead and begin to make their way forward. As we prepare for communion, we share this meal that identifies us with the person of Jesus Christ. We share this meal and in it we say, Lord, we take part of You into us. We give ourselves wholly and completely to You. What does this mean for us if we identify with being in the heart of Jesus Christ and His heart is in the city of Athens? You know, there's a personal call as well. This is not a God-forsaken area. This is not a godless place. It is a place where God's heart is very much. There's a scripture that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While many in this great city are in rejection, Christ died for them. The gospel is true. And while we were in a place and when we were far from God and when we stood back and did not know Him, it did not change the fact that Jesus Christ died in our place. And He died in the place of all these out here who have yet to know and understand the sacrifice that our God has given, that they have been bought with a price. The kingdom of God is where the will of God is done. Let us pray for God's kingdom to move deep into the recesses of where God has planted us. That we would see His kingdom come to pass. That everywhere we walk in the city, we would walk and we would pray and we would say, Lord, Your kingdom is coming into this place. When you go into your work, when you go into the downtown area, when you got students, when you go onto the campus, this is God's place. This is where the kingdom of God is coming. As we share communion together, I'm going to ask that we would just pause. As the workers are going, and in a few moments I'm going to send them distributing the elements. I want you to do this. I want you to pray. Lord, what would You have me do? I'm receiving the body of Christ, receiving the blood of Christ. I'm identifying myself with the kingdom of God. Lord, where would You send me to bring Your kingdom in Athens, Georgia? Amen.